Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you how we do it. There ain't nothing to it. We're going to get right to it. You ready? You ready? This is the PreliminaryNow.com Radio Network.
All right, we are live and ready to go once again on Bluegrass MMA Live. I'm your host, as always, David McKinney, and we have a fantastic show tonight here on Bluegrass MMA Live. First up here in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Dave Gabig. And then later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Varon Mighty Mo Webb, who will, both fighters will be fighting on Pinnacle FC 11 this weekend in Pittsburgh. I will be there, as always, on commentary. Joining me this time will actually be Rick Borowski, a former amateur fighter who should have some interesting color commentary to add to the show on Saturday night. And in the past, cast on GFL.TV, I've been told by the Pinnacle FC head honcho, general, whatever you want to call him, Matt Layshock, that actually will not be the case this weekend. And a little birdie also told me that this show may be free for those of you who are looking to stream Pinnacle FC 11 if you will not be able to be inside of the Isoplex in Canonsburg. So stay tuned for all of that fun this weekend. Of course, we'll be talking, like I said, to Dave Gabig here. I think we have Aaron Garrett on the line. Is that you now, Aaron?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Aaron?
I heard you're turning me in for a new model. I won't be able to do the show with you this weekend like I did last one.
Well, I mean, you did okay, but I don't know, man. No, man, I would love to have you back. I think what Matt Layshock was, his goal is to try to get some different people in there and kind of cycle people out. And maybe, I think, try to find someone who doesn't get tired of me after one show.
No, yeah, it's all good. Yeah, you always want to try to get new flesh blood in there. You know, people, his fans, just want to order the pay-per-view then and watch it. So it's all a good idea to do.
Yeah, it's free, so, I mean, some people, I guess you don't have to pay to listen to my voice this weekend. It's going to be free, from what I've heard. Wait for the official announcement on that. But
nice.
It's a fantastic fight card. I mean, it's one of those where it's definitely quality over quantity. Just 7 fights, but, man, I was looking through this fight card, and there's not a dud in this 7-fight lineup. All these fights are really interesting, and even the young guys who are coming up, I was watching some video and doing some background, like Brian Hauser, who was a Division I wrestler at Notre Dame College, coming over from Evolve MMA, making his second appearance, is going to be taking on Justin Patton, and Tom Gormley, both looking to pick up their first win inside the cage. Just a really, really good fight card, and then, you know, coming up in the amateur main event, we're going to have the guy who we're going to bring on here in a couple of seconds, and Dave Gabig, who I've always been a big fan of, dating back way back to the NWFS days when he was fighting on the NWFS circuit. And with that in mind, let's go ahead and bring on Dave. Dave, one thing I've always wanted to know, and I guess it's best to get from the horse's mouth, is your name pronounced Gabig or Gabig?
Gabig, and, you know, you can only imagine the amount of fights I got in over that when I was a kid. So, been dealing with that, but yeah, Gabig is the pronunciation. So,
all right, so I'll make sure I get that right on Saturday during the broadcast, Dave Gabig. And I know, you know, I was actually talking to you, you know, a little bit before you were supposed to fight actually back in May, and then your fight kind of fell through, and it was, you know, even I guess it's never fun when a fight falls through, but I guess it was even tougher situation for who you were going through. I mean, you basically told me you pretty much quit your job in order to not have to, you know, you were given kind of an administrative leave.
Yeah. I was politely asked to take a break, to say the least. A break I definitely needed for sure because, you know, it's my first fight in 4 years, and, you know, I was gearing up for it. And I bartend, and I had to deal with people on a day-to-day basis. And let's just say the fuse gets a little short for BS whenever you're cutting weight and you're getting ready to punch someone. So, and you're dealing with a stupid question, you give a stupid answer back. Sometimes it's not received that well. So I guess you could say I was politely asked to leave. But, you know, we after the fight fell through and I kind of looked at my bank account, I was like, you know what, I better suck it up and get back to work. And we settled our differences, and everything seems to be okay now. You know, I actually got through this fight camp without yelling at customers or my boss, so I consider that a win in my book.
Yeah, and I know you're a Pennsylvania native, a Pittsburgh guy, but you were talking a little bit about what, you know, kind of what you had to go through to in order to make this fight happen, all the medicals and everything like that. Is it tough kind of, you know, fighting at home, but it's still you have to basically run through all this red tape in order to fight at home?
I go through the same hoops every other fighter I'm sure goes through. You know, we make sacrifices to do what we, you know, I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be broken fighting than, you know, spending my money on the stuff that kept me out of fighting for 4 years. You know, I'm blessed to have this opportunity to get in there and fight. So I'll spend every dime I have to do what I love. And, you know, tomorrow I'll make more money and I'll find a way. But, you know, there's a lot more people out there are worse off than me. So I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to complain or cry about it. It's just going to keep pushing forward. That's all I'm going to do.
Right. And the other interesting story, one of the reasons I actually wanted to have you on is because I thought your story was interesting and kind of where you were. I mean, you were fighting and, you know, really came close. I mean, you were in contention for NWFS title back in 2011, lost your fight to Todd Bevin. And then, you know, as you said, went through, I guess, a neck injury and then, you know, kind of spiraled down from there.
Oh, I mean, neck injury was the beginning of it. And then, you know, it's kind of getting into it, man. You know, I'll tell you one thing. When you get away from fighting, as I know I can speak for myself, when I got away from fighting, I had to, you know, with my neck injury and everything, I had to find, you know, I love action. I'm a junkie for just something that gets my heart going, and fighting filled that void in a very constructive and positive way. Well, when I couldn't fight or train properly, I kind of, you know, I found substitutes and I found substance, you know, and I put myself around the wrong people and started making terrible decisions, drinking all the time and, you know, experimenting with other drugs as well. And the Pittsburgh scene, for that, it's unfortunate, but it's prevalent, especially in the city area. Like, you can walk up and down and see these people every single day. But you just, I never thought of it. And next thing I knew, I'm tied right up in it. And it sucked the life out of me for 4 years, that's for sure. And it took a hard awakening. A friend of ours, Garrett Tahin, falling to the same type of stuff I was around on a daily basis. I had a very close friend of mine who was hooked into it. And it's hard to kind of look at yourself in the mirror some days. But when I found strength in this other person, and one of my friends finding help, it opened my eyes to find that same type of hope. And I found it in going back to the gym and surrounding myself with guys who open their arms right back up to me. Mark Jericho, come aware, the guys who've known me for a very long time, just opened their arms right up to me and brought me right back in the fold like I didn't miss a day. And I am internally in debt to them for that.
Yeah, and I do apologize. I hope it's coming through okay on everybody else's end. I'm having a little bit of trouble, as per usual, with Blog Talk Radio, some technical difficulties, but we're we're fighting through it. but yeah, I know one guy who probably also is excited to see you back is Matt Layshock, the promoter at Pinnacle. I mean, being a guy who does bartending and works in a, you know, a super popular area like Southside Pittsburgh, I know you got to have some connections and some people who are going to be out there supporting you on Saturday. You got a pretty big crowd coming out on Saturday.
I mean, I got a good bit of fans coming out for this one. Unfortunately, you know, I work in an industry that the weekends are your money time, so I'm sure the live stream's pretty much going to be packed with a lot of guys watching from their phones at the bar while not waiting on people, that's for sure. So don't go to some of the bars in Southside this Saturday. You're not going to get speedy service around my plate, that's for sure.
Yeah, I also saw, I don't think this is your full-time job, but I know that you were talking about, you were kind of doing a little bit of bouncing. Do you kind of just, you know, flash your fighter ID when guys get a little bit rowdy, or?
You know, I absolutely despise whenever a bar, like whenever my bar asks me to do any type of security, I despise that work. It is just terrible, because all you want to do is just let people have a good time, and sometimes they don't want to have a good time, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I pretty much try to stick to bartending, something like that, people to have a good time. I try to smile and enjoy my job. When I'm bouncing, oh, man, people just – I think this past Saturday I bounced for one of my friends. He said it was the first time in about 5 months there was an altercation, and I had 3 altercations. I'm like, you know, why am I doing this?
Yeah, as a guy who used to live in Pittsburgh for about a year and a half, I know how fun, fun is a relative term, how fun things can get in Southside.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually sitting at my place of work right now, and I'm having people looking over at me, haggling me right now. So, you know, there's no breaks on it.
One thing I wanted to bring up to you, I'm not sure, and, you know, kind of, you know, knowing a little bit of your background, I'm kind of interested to see how you'll react. But, you know, the guy you're fighting, Sean Felton, you know, he's definitely a guy, and it doesn't seem like it's anything where it's really negative. It more seems like confidence on his end, but he sent out a couple of tweets where he's saying, you know, sorry, I got to spoil your big comeback, you know, in your hometown, stuff like that. First of all, have you read the tweets? And then second of all, is that kind of just bulletin board material, or how do you take that?
Man, he can say whatever he wants. You know, he can do all that. I personally am terrible. I can do Facebook because it's kind of simple. I just got to say a few things. When it comes to Twitter and Instagram, man, I'm complete novice. So I didn't read it until I believe Layshock put it in the article. And, you know, man, that's fine. He can I like that. He can say whatever stuff. Everyone has their things they need to do to get motivated for a fight. Me, man, I have 4 years of pent-up aggression I'm going to take out on Saturday night, so he can think he's going to ruin my hopes and dreams, but he's going to be really awoken.
I like that, man. I like the quiet sort of confidence and the professional response. But like I said, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of guys, it's they're just out there trying to sell the fight, and if it makes more people interested, I mean, you got to just smile at it and let things play out how they will on Saturday night.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy, I'm really happy he's coming down, giving me a fight. You know, after this summer I've had about opponents backing out and this and that, I'm happy someone's actually coming into the cage ready to go. So, with that being said, he can say everything he wants to say. Let's just get it going on Saturday.
Yeah, one thing I said, I actually saw him fight back in May, I believe, May or June, and he's one of those guys, man. As a fan of this sport, he's a young guy, got a lot of passion, and doesn't just go out there and fight. He knows that. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a guy like a Mark Jericho or even a little bit of Don Mazzotti. He realizes that, you know, it's an entertainment as much as it is fighting, and it's fun to watch guys like that. It's something a little bit different. But yeah, I'm a fan of both of you guys and both for different reasons, but been a fan back since the NAAFS days, and one other thing you mentioned to me, I think, was you said before your fight you were always more heart and balls than technique, and it seems like you've actually added a little bit of technique with working with guys like Anthony Durnell and Master White Fang and Bob Meese and then Pride Lands BJJ. How is that, you know, kind of taking your game to the next level?
With Professor Liu from Pride Lands, I mean, his ground game and his application of jiu-jitsu to MMA is, I mean, top level. I mean, I cannot say anything more about Professor Liu. He's just the man when it comes to ground game. And it says a lot when you have a black belt instructor who competes. I mean, he's pushing himself on the mat with us every day, making us better and himself better. And that's just experience you can't places. Working with the likes of Bob Meese and Durnell, you know, my stand-ups have always been kind of the bruiser mentality, and I've started to add a whole lot of, you know, more finesse, speed, technique to my stand-up game. That's the biggest improvement I think I've seen since I've come back and been training full-time. But, you know, I know when it comes down to a fight, you know, don't be shocked whenever I get my hands on him. I'm going to lift him over my head, drop him on his back, and throw a couple hard punches because, hey, it's a fight, and that's what I love to do. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Right, and like I said, you know, if you've never seen Dave fight, if you're a fan of guys who just kind of go out there and who will bite down on their mouthpiece and go out and throw and you know, who go out and just beat guys up, then he's definitely the type of fighter that you will enjoy watching on Saturday night. Excited to see you back in there, man, on Saturday. Want to give you the opportunity. Thank you for bearing with us through the we always have issues with Blog Talk Radio, seems like every week, but thank you for bearing with us. I want to give you the opportunity. Any shout-outs, anything else that you want to mention?
Yeah, huge shout-out to definitely all my teammates. One guy you definitely mentioned on the undercard you're going to want to be there to check out is Justin Patton. The kid's a stud. He's coming up, and I can't wait to see his fight. And also Christopher Mitchell, another guy that trains out of Fight Club Pittsburgh, making his pro debut. Definitely come out and support those two guys as well. Huge thanks to Pride Lands Jiu-Jitsu in Pittsburgh and Professor Liu, Mark Cherico, Kamal Worthy, Coach Durnell, Robert Meese, and all the guys at Fight Club Pittsburgh, Christopher Nolan at Metcalf Photos and Fight Photography, definitely the best in the game. He's going to be at the Pinnacle Card taking photos. Faded Beard is one of our sponsors, and also No Sleeves Nation, another one of our primary sponsors as well. They're going to be making my custom walkout shirt. You can definitely check that out at the fights. They're going to have a stand there for that. So, and also, thanks to Bluegrass MMA for having me on tonight. And you, Dave, love talking to you, brother, and looking forward to throwing on the show Saturday night, man.
All right, man. Thank you very much. I'll see you on Saturday. That's, like I said, that's one I've had circled on my fight card for a long, long time. Excited for this one. Excited to see you back, Dave. Thanks very much, and have a good night.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, Aaron, I'm before we get Veron Webb on here in about 10 minutes, I'm going to try to reconnect. I don't know how well you can hear me on your end. I'm probably breaking up pretty bad. I'm going to try to reconnect here and see if we can get things situated a little bit better here for our next interview. So you may have. All right, it looks like I'm back, and I think Aaron's still there. Hopefully we have a better connection this time.
Yep, I'm still here, and I still hear you good.
All right. on my end, things are a little bit choppy, but we'll work through it. But, yeah, Aaron, we got about 10 minutes here before Veron Mighty Mo Webb calls in, and I was hoping that we would be able to get both him and his opponent on at the same time. Don Mazzotta said he had a pretty tough weight cut to go through, and you know, I definitely don't want to interrupt that. I know as a guy, you know, I don't think you've ever cut weight as either a heavyweight or super heavyweight, but a weight cut's definitely not a fun part of fight week.
170. I fought 170, 85. I almost died when I cut 170, but that's besides the point.
Oh, 170. I thought the lowest you ever fought was 185.
No, I fought 170 once.
Oh. Well, yeah, you probably did cut a little bit of weight then.
Yeah, I caught almost 30 pounds.
That's
and,
not fun.
Yeah, I had to get, which is not illegal anymore, but I had to get almost 3 bags of IV put in my arm.
Well, that's interesting because it's, I guess, quote unquote illegal, but I don't even want to get into it, but I don't see how they're going to be able to police something like that on the local level. I mean, guys like Alfred Leisure have told me in the past, you know, a guy who's a 3-0 pro has gotten an IV after a fight, but I just don't see, man, how they're going to police that with, you know, with basically guys. First of all, it's a monetary issue having to be able to police that, and then also how there's really no way for them to test other than being able to test your hydration level and your blood level the day before the fight and the day of the fight. So it's kind of and like the UFC, I can see where they'd be able to do something like that, but on, you know, on the local level, like a Pinnacle show or an IT Fight Series show, I just don't see how they're going to be able to police that.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going to be hard to test, especially local level. UFC can do it. I don't see organizations, you know, around Ohio, Pennsylvania, going to be able to, you know, put the money into it to try to make that work.
Well, the most I've actually ever seen, and this is just me being, you know, me physically seeing it, I'm sure that other, you know, other things have happened, but the most I've ever seen on a local level was a fight, actually an amateur title fight. The fighters were actually drug tested via urine after the fight. I don't know, you know, for sure whether they were tested before the fight. Definitely pretty sure that they weren't tested out of competition. But seeing as how it was a title fight, I do believe title fights, I think that's a rule. I mean, you would know better than me being a matchmaker, but I think it's a rule guys in title fights have to be drug tested. Is that right?
Correct, yep. And all amateurs, even title fights, have to be. So, like, when we had our Columbus card, you know, all three of the title fights had to be tested. And, you know, they don't test for a lot, but, I mean, they test for a couple of things. They get tested before the fight.
And, like, it was actually interesting. The one test that I physically saw actually happened after the fight. So, I don't know. I mean, the commission is, and the commission in Ohio is better than the commission in a lot of states, but I'm just curious about, you know, whether it's something where maybe even a promoter requested that or what happened. But, yeah, that's, I don't know. I mean, you just brought it up, so it's interesting. They're talking about the IV bans and the getting into the fighters and where they have to tell the, and this is a UFC rule and UFC and USADA rule, but they have to tell the UFC where they are at, you know, 24 hours a day, and they have to be, if they make them aware months in advance. I mean, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, let alone months in advance. So it's just, it's interesting, and it seems like they've been running into a lot of problems with guys that were in the main event of the fight night card last week said that they haven't been tested. Chris Weidman said that nobody at his gym, none of the UFC fighters at his gym at Serra Longa have been tested since the policy went into place almost 2 months ago now. So it's interesting. I do know a couple of UFC fighters, and I'd be curious to reach out to them and see if any of them have been tested. But they've, according to the number of tests, they were saying about 5 out-of-competition tests per year based on the total number of tests on the UFC roster. So it's interesting that it's hard to see a guy like that nobody really seems to have been tested so far, and it's already, you know, it's we're about 6 weeks, 7 weeks now into the UFC policy going into place.
Yeah, I mean, even like with, I mean, Ohio is starting to do something, nothing like that, but they're letting the amateurs, you know, weigh in on Friday now. You know, they are the day before. And the ruling on that is pretty much you have to re-weigh in on Saturday, and you're only allowed to gain, if you're 155 pounds or lower, you're only allowed to gain 8 pounds. If you're 156 or higher, you're allowed to gain 13 pounds. So, I mean, they're trying different things. You know, they don't want, they're looking out for the fighters, but I'm hoping, you know, they don't try to do that for the pros, because I don't know one pro that doesn't gain more than 8 pounds under 155 pounds. Most of them, you know, gain about anywhere from 15 to 20 pounds for the day of the fight.
Yeah, I actually saw, I think it was Arkansas or Alabama or somewhere in the South actually has instituted weight-cutting rules to where basically the fighter based on, it's similar to like wrestling where based on your body frame, you're not allowed to cut so much, you know, so many pounds and stuff like that. Interesting, another interesting note is that actually the state of North Carolina, I believe, is the only state that currently actually institutes the double weigh-in rule for pros, similar to what you were talking about for Ohio. You're only allowed to gain a certain percentage of your body weight back after weigh-ins. And it's actually sometimes is counterintuitive where guys will balloon back up and then will cut weight again for the second weigh-in the next day. An interesting story was Brian Rogers told me a story about how he was, when he fought for Bellator in North Carolina, actually they weighed in at 12:01, so that technically it would be considered a same-day weigh-in, as same day as the day of the fight weigh-in, so that the fighters wouldn't be subjected to two separate weigh-ins. So it's interesting when you go to different states and different regulations, and you know, I mean, like I said, there's no, I guess, perfect way for it to happen. But some of the policies are kind of crazy. Like the day of weigh-ins is always a little tough for guys in Ohio be able to, yeah, to weigh in. And then it's just hard because if a guy is cutting any sort of weight, it's physically impossible to get rehydrated enough to where you really are going to be at 100% before fight time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, when I cut down to 170, it was the day before weigh-in. It was over in Indiana before they had commissioned. And so, I mean, plus I had a little bit of pound allowance. But I probably would need that whole 24 hours about to rehydrate. And I still didn't feel like the best when I came to fight, but I was a lot better and was thankful that it was actually the day before weigh-in, not day of.
Yeah, I remember some of the old, and even a lot of times now in Kentucky, guys will, they are very lenient on guys and getting allowance. And I know a lot of times they'll let fighters fight all the way up to the next weight class. And they'll,
yeah, they
know,
have a 10-pound weight limit,
random
allowance. Yeah, it's 10 pounds down in Kentucky.
And in Ohio, for amateurs, there's no weight limit allowance at all. You don't even get a pound, which is interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting that Ohio has been so successful, I would say, and being able to promote shows with kind of a quote-unquote handicap and with such a strict commission. Definitely one of the stricter commissions in the country, but with that being said, it you know has led to a lot of guys being very successful in this state and being set up for success. But you know, now we go from where we were maybe promoting 10 to 12 events per month, and now we're at 3 to 4 per month. But looking at the calendar today, I actually saw a lot more shows coming up in the next couple of months, and shows actually scheduled out for basically through Thanksgiving. And interesting, I know you have actually three shows currently scheduled. You'll have IT Fight Series 35 on September 5th, IT 36 on September 26th, and then back in Columbus. I saw it on the commission website, so I know I can announce it, but back in Columbus on October 24th at Stars Indoor Sports Complex. So 7 or 8 weeks for you guys at over at IT Fight Series.
Yes, yes. And then hopefully maybe we can announce our November card next week on the show.
Please tell me you're not doing a night before Thanksgiving show.
No. Yeah, no, we're staying away from the night before Thanksgiving.
Are you doing the weekend before Thanksgiving, maybe?
Yeah.
That's always a fun time. Weekend before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll tell you that, yeah.
I won't.
The location is the interesting part. I think I told you before.
I've heard some rumblings, so excited and I guess a teaser for next week. We're going to have a recap next week of Pinnacle, so be sure to check that out this weekend. And like I said, be sure to stay tuned to Bluegrass MMA and then also standthemup.org for information. We're waiting right now for Veron Webb to call in. Hopefully he will be calling us here in a minute or so.
Talking about RFO.
Yeah, man.
You were there last week.
Yeah, I can't say enough good. There's a lot of good promoters in the state of Ohio, but I can't say enough about the promotion and just the overall feel, the atmosphere, kind of the hometown feel of a show like RFO. And I think I mentioned in the recap and mentioned on Twitter, one of the best and most competitive amateur cards I've ever seen. They had, I think, 12 amateur fights, a dozen amateur fights, and two pro fights, but not really a ton of huge names on the card, but the matchups, just every single matchup. Out of those 12 fights, all but one of them made it out of the first round, and the one that didn't make it out of the first round, I was pretty sure was going to make it out of the first round until one of the guys ended up finishing the fight with about 10 seconds left in the first round with some pretty vicious ground and pound. But really, man, just a great atmosphere, a great crowd, and it's hard to say enough good things about Matt Trukovich, Scott Corbin, Melissa Trukovich, all the people up at RFO, Mike Robel, Jake Digman, and the venue that they held it in at the Summit County Fairgrounds is, man, I've never seen a venue probably more perfectly set up for MMA. It had kind of a two-level. It was a lot like if you've ever been to the Aladdin Shrine Center where UBC used to hold shows, it was a lot like that without the plush carpeting. It had the multi-levels. It was the same size. Really just set up really nice. And it was in kind of a, I guess it was called the arena there, but in a decent building, a great venue. They had plenty of room, plenty of locker rooms. It was a fantastic venue, a great atmosphere for mixed martial arts.
Oh, yeah. Matt Trukovich is a great promoter. I mean, I got the privilege to actually fight for him the beginning of this year. No, last year. And great time, treated me great, and I mean, like you said, there's nothing bad you can probably say about him. The crowd was awesome when I fought for him. They got into the fights. Me and my opponent, we probably only had 10 people that knew us there, but the crowd made us feel like everyone was showing us love, so that was awesome.
Yeah, and one thing I've actually talked with Matt a little bit, and gave him some ideas and tips and stuff like that, was ways to kind of expand the promotion and really kind of help take it to the next level. And hopefully maybe here in the near future they might start streaming and doing stuff like what IT Fight Series has done. But I know it's kind of a good, not really an official relationship, but a really good working relationship. between, you know, an organization like IT Fight Series and RFO. It's, I think there's definitely a big amount of respect there. And honestly, man, I'm kind of over all the negativity and gossip and all the backroom nasty stuff that goes on. And I'm, the reason why I do this is because I love fights and I love the sport of MMA, and I love the people that I've met, and I love being around the sport. I'm not into this because I like gossiping and I like, you know, trying to get over the next guy and do backroom deals and gossip and hear all the crazy, ridiculous stuff that goes on, because it does go on. Just like a lot of things in life and a lot of things in general. But that stuff, man, I've kind of just decided to really start ignoring and be positive. And that's a message like what IT Fights, or obviously IT Fights with you being involved, but that's a message like what RFO really tries to promote, is positivity and just some great fights. And I mean, it was about a little over a 3-hour drive for me, but I thoroughly enjoyed every single second of every fight. And some interesting, really interesting results. And Frank Caraballo getting, you know, that it was called an upset by a couple people, but Keith Richardson is a beast, man. And the guy is on a roll. He's won 5 fights in a row. I think he's won all 5 of those by stoppage. He's a really, really tough guy. It was one of those where Frank could stay off of his back and he had a good shot to win. But if the fight got to the ground, which it did, then it was going to be Keith Richardson's territory.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I was real disappointed when I wasn't able to go to that show. I was looking forward to going to that show. But, you know, I have a – some people don't call it a real job. I call it a real job. But, yeah, I had a wedding to DJ, and, yeah, it was disappointing I didn't get to watch it.
I was actually going to ask you, and I'll ask you in a second, but a couple other quick results run down. Jeff Hughes moving up to 4-0 with a unanimous decision over Kurt Lemon, and that's exactly how I expected that fight to go. Hughes just really kind of beating him up for 3 rounds, but Kurt Lemon staying there every single step of the way. Really interesting, kind of a gritty test of wills between two guys who have a lot of talent, and I think Kurt Lemon's talent might be a lot of the fact might be that he's just tough to put down, man. He's a really, really tough guy, and Jeff Hughes has every shot in the world, but he needed a really tough fight like that against a really tough guy, basically to show him, to get him a lot of work and to show him where he needs to improve.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the fights we were looking at different last week when we did our results. I just thought, you know, Jeff was going to get tired because I knew he wasn't going to be able to finish Kurt, but I was wrong.
Yeah. And then the Adley Edwards and Rich Kalina. Rich Kalina coming from Pittsburgh had probably the loudest ovation of the night. Matt Trukovich said, what's his name? Tyler Feller, I believe, was the biggest ticket seller on the card. But the winner for loudest crowd definitely went to Rich Kalina. But, man, it was a really tough matchup for Rich. I like Rich as a person. I like him as a guy. I like him as an entertainer, as a fighter. But Adley Edwards was just a really, really tough matchup for him, and Adley used his wrestling and kind of took it another step and used his wrestling, but then also used a lot of his striking as well, and has really improved his striking and using his striking to be able to get into closer quarters where Rich didn't want the fight. And Rich was he wasn't completely shut out in the fight, but you know, he was always looking for submissions and always looking to defend the takedown. But Adley being that Division II wrestler, you know, just a really tough, kind of a funky wrestling style where he is a guy who will do crazy things like jump over you and do stuff that's not necessarily he's not really a straightforward wrestler. He's a guy, if you're thinking about running backs, he's not a power running back who's just going to you know, run the ball straight up the middle. He's the guy who's going to bounce it to the outside and really do a lot of funky things and make you keep you on your toes and keep you guessing at what he's going to do. And he is a guy who has improved leaps and bounds since he's made his amateur debut a couple of years ago, and he is the new RFO champ. You know, that was a fight that was the one I was definitely most excited about. A great, great fight. Great card, like I said. It's one of those that will definitely stick out in my mind for a long time. And you know, then we also talked about Nat Trukovic offering to pay Tony DiPiero his show money, even though his opponent didn't show up to the fight, and just a great story. The whole story for that is up on bluegrassmma.com, so be sure to go check that out. And then also, we had this past weekend Gladiators of the Cage over in Pennsylvania, and man, were the results of that. I was just not really shocked, but kind of exactly what I thought was going to happened, and at least the two main fights. We'll go from the top and break it down. Rob Hanna and Mike Wilkins fought in just an absolute battle, and Rob Hanna, like I said, and that was my my quote was I made a decision to stop underestimating Rob Hanna a long time ago. Going into Mike Wilkins' backyard and picking up the Gladiators of the Cage title and just a hard-fought battle. And Rob, I guess, clearly won the first two rounds, but Mike had him in a pretty dangerous position in the third round, but was unable to finish him, where Mike had a rear-naked choke locked in tight, and Rob just kind of just, you know, closed his eyes and gritted his teeth and made it through it, and eventually got back out and won the fight. I could have scripted it. That's probably exactly how I would have scripted it.
Oh yeah, you know, that's what Rob's known for. I mean, he's known to grind fights out and get the decision, and he looked awesome. You know, even being an independent fighter, he went in there, and you don't see a lot of independent fighters looking that good.
Yeah, man. That and then the co-main event, a guy we had on last week, and man, I was pumped. I mean, I was just as pumped to see Adam Millsap back in there as I am to see Dave Gabig. But Adam Millsap, 70 seconds, just absolutely demolishing Lewis Rumsey. And we have that fight up on bluegrassmma.com. But man, the thing I love about that fight and I love about his performance in that fight is him stalking, him looking like a hungry lion in that fight and basically being dominant. And you knew that the finish and the end was going to come sooner rather than later. And we talked about that. We talked about him last week, you know, not necessarily not being impatient, but him really just saying, hey, I'm looking to finish this fight every single second. And you definitely got that feel from him from watching the fight and watching him stalk Lewis Rumsey and put him up against the cage and land just one of the most flush right hands I've ever seen in my life to put Lewis Rumsey down and then land two more as he's falling down. The speed of Adam Millsap is absolutely ridiculous, and putting him out and the referee jumping on him and ending the fight right there. But man, was that just a beautiful display of mixed martial arts and power and just raw athleticism. And he is a guy that if he's not in the UFC by the end of the year, I will be shocked.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, he looked awesome. I mean, he was not afraid to get in there and show what he has and leave it all in there. And even with his little bit of a layoff, did not show. And even when Dan Spahn fought, he didn't look that good against him. So, yeah, I was real impressed.
Yeah, Lewis Rumsey's a guy who can make you look bad, and I think Adam Millsap knew that, and I think that he didn't want to give Rumsey a chance to get in that fight and build some confidence like he did against Dan Spahn, because Spahn kind of controlled the whole fight, but Rumsey really hung in there, and Rumsey, I think maybe even going into the fight, didn't think that he could hang with Dan Spahn, but then as the fight was going along, Spahn let him back in the fight and let him, kind of didn't put him away, and that gave Lewis Rumsey confidence. And you know, some people, I didn't score it for Lewis Rumsey, but some people were scoring that fight for Lewis Rumsey. I thought that Spahn barely won all three rounds, but I did think that he won all three rounds. But yeah, great point about the Lewis Rumsey and Dan Spahn. And I actually haven't watched the fight between bantamweights, but it was a rematch, and it's interesting, man. There's just so much. It seems like these two guys are always going to be connected, I guess, in some way. Dalton Brady and Jason Alexander. Dalton Brady getting the win back in June, their first fight as amateurs, and Jason Alexander getting the win in the second. I guess it really counts as pros, and now Jason Alexander is 2-0, and Dalton Brady, quick as that, man, 0-1 as a pro. It's one of those where they say, make sure you go pro at the right time, because if you don't, then your career, it gets off to a really, really rough start.
Yes, I actually left my DJ table for this fight. You know, Dalton's one of my real good friends, and so I went outside and watched this fight. I was almost threw my phone across the field. They both did awesome.
Yeah. It's hard not to be a fan of both of those guys. I mean, we did commentary for Jason Alexander's fight back at Pinnacle, and the dude came out of nowhere, took the fight on 3 days' notice, came in and absolutely routed Cortland Woodard and choked him out. And, I mean, first of all, blasted him with some nasty shots and then routed him and choked him out in like a minute and a half. And it was vicious and it was beautiful. And it was like a 135-pound Adam Milstead. But then, you know, Alexander basically was trying to take like three fights within the span of like 4 weeks or something ridiculous. Ended up fighting Dalton Brady and lost Dalton Brady as an amateur, and now has come back and beat him as a pro and is already 2-0 as a pro. I mean, the two guys, like I said, they're 1-1 against each other, but if you look at their records, Jason Alexander right now is light years ahead of Dalton Brady because of the fact that he is 2-0 as a pro, and Dalton Brady is 0-1 as a pro.
Yes,
it's the record, man. If you want to get to the UFC, you got to be you. And Rich Catalina talked about it when he does go pro, he wants to be confident that he can go 5 or 6-0 and make it to the UFC, like a guy like Cody Garbrandt did, and really dominating guys in his first 5 fights, getting knockouts in all 5 of them, and boom, he signed with the UFC. I mean, that's kind of what needs to be done, and Jason Alexander, you know, if he does, if 5-0 is all he needs, he's already 40% of the way there. I think he'll probably need more than that, because at least at this point, he's nowhere near the name that Cody Garbrandt was, and Cody was around for a long, long time before he ever even turned pro. But I mean, if Jason Alexander in 18 months is 8-0 as a pro, He's a UFC prospect. He's a legitimate UFC prospect.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the biggest problem is his little eye problem he has. He's not going to be able to fight in a lot of states because he has LASIK surgery.
Well, so, as far as I know, Ohio is the only one with that rule, which is kind of a...
Yeah, UFC, though. You have to get it done in the UFC, though, too.
Kind of a quirky rule, though. It's one of those rules where I never knew why it happened, but it's I think the actual story is Bernie read something about where you can get, if you get punched the wrong way, if you've had LASIK, then your eyes can be damaged forever. But that's true for anybody, man. If anybody gets punched the wrong way, your eye can be damaged forever. Look at
yeah, I'm not saying it's a good rule, but I mean,
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like it's tough. It makes you kind of wonder again about some of the rules, but yeah, it does kind of handicap him a little bit, at least early on in his career. But we did talk about Cody Garbrandt, and I actually know that could be in Pittsburgh this weekend for Pinnacle FC 11. He will actually be handing over the belt to the guy who wins the main event between Dominic Mazzotta and Veron Webb. The 135 title that Cody Garbrandt currently holds and will vacate. Of course, Cody is signed with the UFC and unable to defend that. But he will hand the belt over to Dominic Mazzotta or Veron Webb on Saturday night. And man, will that be a sight if Cody Garbrandt hands the belt over to Dominic Mazzotta, man. But with all the history, I know that they've squashed a little bit, but man, will that be a sight.
Yes. It'll be pretty interesting, but, you know, hopefully, you know, he has it squashed because, I mean, technically he's in the UFC, so he has one step ahead of him.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because it might even be, I mean, if Mazzotta is able to win, it'll be, at least to me, it might even be Cody kind of saying, hey, man, you're on my level now. I think that you're ready for the UFC. And honestly, if Mazzotta, if he goes out and gets another impressive win, then he might be ready for the UFC.
Yeah, I definitely. He's another one that's pretty much one fight away from taking that big, huge step to the UFC.
Right. And we have about 5 minutes left here. We're not going to be able to get Veron Webb on. I'm sure he is also cutting weight like Dominic Mazzotta. But either way, thank you to Dave Gabig for joining us. I'm not going to make picks, Aaron, since I'm doing commentary for the Pinnacle Show. I will kind of break down the fights, and then I want to hear your picks of some of the fights that are going to go down this weekend. First up is we'll start with Dave Gabig and Sean Felton, 270-pound fighters. Really interesting style matchup. Gabig kind of the brawler and ground and pound with solid wrestling and really, like you said, more a Muay Thai fighter who likes to stand on the outside and pick his shots, but also has a lot of power.
Yes. You know, I've not seen Dave fight yet. I've seen Felton fight once, but I've heard a lot of good things about Dave, and I'm pretty sure, you know, he don't want to lose his comeback fight, and he's doing everything and anything he can do to get this victory. So I'm going to go with Dave on this one.
Right, and then moving along, the first pro fight of the night will be two guys who are actually making their pro debuts, and it's one of those where, Aaron, we talked about guys young, two super, super talented guys, young in their careers, and they will be making their pro debuts against each other. Two guys who were amateur champions and really elite level organizations and Pinnacle and NWFS. But Chris Mitchell will be making his pro debut against Tobias Taylor, the brother of Torrence Taylor and Taiwan Howard. Both guys really, really like to strike, but then also both have really solid ground games. What's your pick in that one?
You know, we saw his fight back in May. He looked awesome. His wrestling looked awesome. He was stuffing down Trey. But anybody that can beat Adley Edwards, I got to go with Tobias. A lot of people call that was a fluke win. I mean, anybody that can beat one of the top 145ers in Ohio, he has my vote.
Right. And Tobias is one of those guys who has been kind of the one of the top guys for a while. And I think he kind of was one of those who went pro basically because he didn't really seem like there was a lot of competition left for him. But I would have liked to see him get maybe one or two more fights as an amateur just because he is still so young. I think he's only like 22. I would like to see him get, you know, one or two more as an amateur. that's a fight, like I said, it's one of those, like, I go back and forth. Like I said, I'm not going to make picks, at least out loud, but I go back and forth on who I think is going to win. But it's a really, really interesting matchup. I just hope for a really good fight in that one. Nick Brown will be making his second Pinnacle FC appearance as a pro, 4-0 as a pro. He'll be taking on a late replacement in Caleb McAllister out of Virginia. Nick Brown and Caleb McAllister are very similar fighters, both really lanky, long, tall guys for 155, both over 6 feet tall, and both kind of really, really good in every aspect of the game. McAllister has, I think, his last three wins all via submission, and comes in taking on Nick Brown, the hometown guy. Who you got in that one?
You know, I've seen Brown fight a couple of times, and I don't see anybody beating him, you know, on the local level, so I'm definitely have to go with Brown.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be really difficult for anyone to be able to beat Nick Brown at this point in his career, and he's one of those guys, man. He's going to be like 8 or 9 or 10 and 10 and 1 or something ridiculous like that early on in his career, and like I said, it's going to be difficult. I mean, a guy who chokes out a really respected veteran grappler like Jeff Dentz in his pro debut, and follows that up with the fastest knockout in World Series of Fighting history, and then got another submission in his third fight, and then should have been a unanimous decision over Cameron Van Camp in his last fight in July. But he's a guy, really tough guy. We got just over a minute here left, Aaron, and we're going to talk about the main event, and I want to hear your pick. Dominic Mezada, 7-1, taking on Veron Webb out of South Carolina, 7-2 for the Pinnacle FC bantamweight title. Two guys who, you know, again, both really well-rounded. I guess maybe a little bit of an X factor here is Veron Webb might be a more natural 125er, but still a really tough, powerful guy taking on Dominic Mezada in the main event.
Yes, I've actually looked up a couple of websites. He is a smaller guy. I'm guessing he's probably not going to cut a lot of weight for this, if any. But, you know, I mean, Dominic Mezada is on top of his game. He's I saw him fight in May and looked flawless, so I'm going to go with Dominic.
Right, and you heard Aaron Garrett's picks. I will be on commentary this Saturday at Pinnacle FC 11 in Pittsburgh. Man, the sandwich, the good stuff part of a three weekends in a row doing MMA events, and then next weekend IT Fight Series 35 in Spiot, Ohio. Man, three fantastic events, and I think you said last week, as we are off the air now, but you said last week the IT show is actually outdoors, right?
Correct. Yes.
That'll be fun. That's always, you have a, do you like wake up at night in like a cold sweat, hoping like that the weather is good for that? Did you guys have like a plan B for if the weather doesn't cooperate?
I mean, technically it's not outside because it's still under a big pretty much circus tent. So it's going to be in a circus tent kind of like, but it's technically, yeah, still outside. So we got a backup plan. You know, it's still going to be under a tent, and it's going to be fun.
All right, man, that is going to do it for tonight's show. He is Aaron Garrett. Follow him. Well, I guess maybe one of these days you'll tweet again, but follow him on Facebook. You can find him, Aaron Garrett. Also, follow at IT Fight Series. Aaron is the matchmaker for IT Fight Series. And then give the IT Fight Series page a like. Once you get the chance, follow Bluegrass MMA on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com. Then also be sure to follow me at MMA McKinney. That's going to do it. Aaron, before we get out of here, though, I want to ask you, I guess if we're going to be the Bluegrass MMA live crew, we need to figure out an entrant, an opener, and a theme song. You have any ideas since you're the DJ?
Theme song. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Going Down for Real song, the new GDFR song. That's a good one. I'll have to maybe even mix a song or do a mesh-up for us.
Well, and Gary Thomas mentioned to us about a week ago, since it is BG MMA, maybe do like some BGs, like Staying Alive or something like that.
Yeah, we could do that. Maybe just, you know, we'll figure something out. I'm still liking his new idea, though, the whole video thing.
Yeah, the doing the I guess it would be like a Google Hangout or something like that, doing the podcast that way. That would be very awesome. I think maybe we're gonna hopefully revamp the Bluegrass MMA Live podcast here very, very soon. We're just doing a couple of one-off shows here, and then we'll figure out, you know, make a decision on what we're going to be doing for the future. Thank you very much for joining us and listening. Again, thank you to Dave Gabig. Be sure to check out the Pinnacle FC stream this weekend, coming at you live from Pittsburgh. That's going to do it. Have a good night, Aaron.
Peace.